are going to be in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1, and we're focusing in on verses 6 and 7, and we began looking at this section of Scripture last week. I've entitled it Unashamed, Unashamed, and so we're going to continue on in that. It might take us, I don't know, 3-4 weeks. We'll just see how far we get. The first sermon turned into two. And we're not in a rush as we go through the Word of God. We'll just take our time. We just want to get what God has for us. But thinking about being unashamed, unashamed. I believe all of us realize our world and our nation is turning further and further away from God. And we live in a time like never before in our lifetime, in my lifetime. America is not as it once was. And it may never be so again. And as this world and our own nation falls further and further into sin and into deception, as they become literally more and more intolerant of God, of Christ, of His Word, of His truth, of those who would stand for Him and hold to that truth, in just such a day, in just such an age, we must be a people who stand for God, who stand for Christ, who stand upon the truth of the Word of God unashamed. Unashamed, whatever the cost, whatever the price. And so let's just jump back in here, 2 Timothy 1. We're going to read verses 3 through 14, maybe just 3 through 12, and then we'll get a glimpse of the whole passage and jump into where we were. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own power and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Let's stop there. Father, again, we just humble ourselves. We need you. God, remove from us the distractions, the things that warn our mind and our thoughts that are not of you. Clear our hearts and our minds, and give us Holy Spirit enablement that we might take hold of you, that we might hear from you. Give us spiritual ears and eyes that we might hear and see. And God, move our hearts to
that the things that are callous, the hardness, God, would be removed and we would receive what you have to say. And God, help me. You know me. You know my utter weakness. I need Holy Spirit power and unction that I might preach and make this truth manifest as I ought. It's too high for me. It's too holy. And so God, help me with your divine power and strength that I might preach as I ought and take this word into our heart, God. Move us where you want us to be. Save those who need to be saved, God. Edify and build up your people and make us like Christ is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Paul is writing this letter to encourage Timothy to endure the hardship, to be faithful, to fulfill the divine calling that God has entrusted to him. As Paul writes these words, he knows that he himself is at the end of his race. The course of his life is quickly coming to an end, and Timothy will have to fulfill his calling alone. His divine mentor, his father in the faith, will soon fade off the scene, and Timothy will have to continue on in the power of God without him. And three times in verses 6 through 18, we didn't read all the way down through there, but verse 8, verse 12, verse 16, we are encouraged. We see this word, be not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Don't be ashamed. And that is the theme that runs through these verses, a calling from God to be unashamed. Unashamed. And that is what we so desperately need in the church in this day and age. In a culture that is demanding that we bow down to sin and wickedness and that we condone and applaud those things that are abominations in the sight of God. In a culture where we now have a multitude of professing Christians and denominations who are bowing their knee to the culture so as not to offend, who are now ashamed of the Word of God and what God speaks in His Word, afraid to preach on those passages, afraid that those passages might come up in certain audiences. They're unwilling to stand, unwilling to proclaim the truth, unwilling to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in so doing, succumbing not only to the culture, but to the Antichrist spirit that is swallowing up the culture. And in just such a culture, we must stand with boldness for Christ. And we must stand unashamed. We must stand upon His Word. We must stand upon the truth of Jesus Christ. We must stand upon the truth of the gospel. We must stand upon those things that are eternal. And we must do so with a boldness and with a courage, with a tenacity by the Holy Spirit of God, and not be ashamed. Not be ashamed. Not draw back. This is basic to an effective life in ministry for Christ. A divine enablement to stand unashamed for Christ. A spiritual courage. A divine enablement from God that says, I will live as God has called me to live. And I will do whatever God calls me to do. And I will go wherever God wants me to go. And I will say whatever God wants me to say. And I will do so by His grace and in His divine power and in His divine love, but with absolute courage and boldness. That's what we need. It's what's lacking so many in this day and age. We need courage. We need to be able to stand for God unashamed. And that's the heart of God for Timothy right here. And that is the heart of God for you and me right here in this passage. That we would not cower down in fear, but rather we would stand for Christ and upon His truth unashamed. Now, how do we live like this? How do we let this be the manifestation of our life day in and day out in just such a culture, an evil age as we're living in? Five things that we see here in verses 6 through 18. We looked at the first one last time, begin to get into the second one. And so let me just remind us of them and we'll bring us back up to speed here and pick back up. First of all, he says, number one, remember your divine calling. Remember your divine calling.
You see there, verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And we looked at the word therefore. It goes back and it grabs a hold of what has previously been said. So what he's now saying is laid upon the foundation of therefore. Because of what I've just said, I'm now saying this. And what he's previously said is that Timothy's faith is genuine. That's what he's just brought to bear on Timothy's heart. In verse 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. And he lays out that foundation. Timothy, you have been saved. Timothy, the faith that is in you is genuine. It dwelt first in your grandmother and then in your mother. And now I see it's in you as well. God has called you. God has saved you. God has gifted you for ministry. Remember your divine calling. Remember the calling of God upon your life. Remember there was a time in your life when God intervened, when God grabbed hold of you, when God brought you out of sin, when God washed you in the blood of His Son. God has called you. Remember that calling from God. And because of that divine calling, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Stir it up. There was a divine calling placed upon Timothy's life. There was a time when God got a hold of him. There was a time when God opened his eyes to see the depths of his sin and depravity and the depths of Christ and Christ's sacrifice and love. And he moved him from sin to flee from that, to turn to Christ, to save him, to place him into Christ and to give him life everlasting. To mark him and call him out by His own name, God's name. Paul's reminding Timothy of that. God has saved you. God has called you. But not only of this divine calling, but this divine gifting. God has given you a divine enablement. God has put a call upon your life to serve Him, to fulfill the ministry entrusted to you. And so the command comes now based upon the salvation is real and genuine in you. You have a calling from God to Christ. This exhortation in verse 5, stir up the gift of God that is in you. In light of your calling, in light of this genuine faith that is in you, in light of the gifting that has been given to you by God, by His grace, stir it up. Stir it up. You remember that word stir up speaks of fanning a flame, reviving a fire. It's a picture of an ember that's dwindling out and fading, and you going there and kindling that back up and blowing wind into it and getting that thing blazing again. That's the calling of God upon Timothy here. That's the calling upon us from God. God has given you this gifting. It is in you. It is from God. Divine enablement from God. It's empowered by His Spirit. It's all by His grace. Stir that gifting up. Stir that gifting God has given you into full blaze for the name and the glory of God. And this is the divine calling of God upon each of us in Christ. If you're in Christ, God has saved you and God has gifted you. And we went into the depths of this. We don't have the time to do it this morning, but with your spiritual birth came spiritual gifting. That it didn't happen at your natural birth. Natural gifting at your natural birth. This is spiritual gifting at your rebirth, spiritual birth, being born again. God gifted you. God enabled you for ministry. And God is calling us to get busy serving Him and fan that gifting of God into full blazing fire for the glory of His name. God has called you. God has set you apart for His name. God has divinely enabled you to serve Him, to serve the church, to go out to a lost and dying world, to be salt and light for Christ. Now you stir up that divine enablement into full flame to be used at full capacity for the name and the glory of Christ. And so just to step back and ask ourselves, self-evaluation, self-application, do we remember our divine calling? You're here today and you say, I know I'm saved. I've been born again. I know I'm a child of God. Do you remember that calling when God brought you to the knowledge of truth and washed you in the blood of His Son and set you apart for His name? Do you remember when God intervened in your life? If you're a Christian, there's nothing more special to you There's nothing you hold more dear to your heart than the fact that God would call you out of sin and place you into His Son. And then in light of that, do you know that with that calling came a gifting? You're gifted if you be in Christ. The tendency is to drift. The tendency is to, you know, like the talents, just let them lay there, bury them under the ground. Oh, no, no, no. Stir it up. Don't you draw back. Don't you hold that in. You stir that divine gifting up to full capacity. What is it? You don't know? That's okay. Just start serving God. He'll move you to it, and others will see it. Just serve God wherever you can, and your gifting will come to light. And so stir it up. We need to remember our calling if we're going to stand for God in this day and age unashamed. We need to be living in light of the fact God reached down and saved us for His name, His glory, gifted us to serve Him, the church, go out to a lost and dying world. Remember that and stir that up into full flame. Secondly, remember your divine resources. Verse 7. Your divine resources. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, fearfulness, shame, embarrassment, weakness. This bowing down that we're seeing today by so many professing Christians and denominations to the demands of the culture, not only to endure the sin and the wickedness that's going on, but to condone it and to applaud it as right and good. That fear, that cowardice, that refusal to stand upon the truth of God and to cower down, that does not come from God. Just make clear in your mind, that is not from God. That fear, that cowardice, that tendency to draw back, to keep your mouth shut about things, not stir anything up, that is not coming from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but rather of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you remember all of that spoken in past tense, meaning it's already been given. We're not waiting on this. We're not needing to say, God, would you please send it down so we can tap into it? No, it's already at our disposal. It's already in our account awaiting withdrawal. It's there for the taking. Power, love, soundness of mind. So that leads us to this truth. With the gifting and calling of God comes the divine enablement and resources of God. We have everything we need to do what God has called us to do, to stand for Him unashamed in this world, to stir up our spiritual gifting, to use it at full capacity for the glory of His name. We're not lacking anything. With the giftings comes God's enabling. And what we see here specifically are three divine resources God has given to us. And we were looking at the first one. Let's just review it briefly. We'll jump into the second and third. First of all, God has given us power. Power to stand for Him. Power to stir up our gifting. Power to live for the glory of His name in this world unashamed. With the gifting of God, with the calling of God, comes the power of God. When you were saved, God gave you power. It infused you when the Holy Spirit took up residence in you. This word power is the Greek word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. And it speaks of inerrant power, explosive power. I mean, we're talking about the power of God Almighty, literally inerrant power that is residing in us through the Holy Spirit of God. As we said, it's like a stick of dynamite. You might look at a stick of dynamite and say, well, it really don't look like much. But there's power in that thing. And when it goes off, you better watch out. You better get out of the way because there's inerrant power in it. Just like we said, a C4, maybe a little more to our day. It looks like clay if you've ever seen it. I've not seen it personally. But they say it's like clay and you can mold it and you can stick it somewhere and stick a charge in it. I mean to tell you, it's loaded with power. Within that is inerrant power. That's what we're talking about here. But we're not talking about the power of man that man has devised. We're talking about the power of God Almighty. The power that resides in us is the power that spoke the Son into existence. It's the power that spoke this whole universe into existence. It's the power that has divine authority to cast Satan out of heaven like lightning. We're talking about the power of God Almighty residing in the Christian. It's not of us. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we tap into that? It's there. Well, we have to walk in it. We have to be surrendered to it. We have to be filled with the Spirit of God. Isn't there command after command after command to put off the flesh, to put on Christ, to walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit? If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This power resides in us through the Holy Spirit, but it flows out of us as we're surrendered to the Spirit. As we call on God and cast ourselves at His feet and walk not in our own strength, but in the power and the strength of God Himself. Let me give you a verse, Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You shall receive dunamis, explosive power, the power of God Himself. When? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, He's in us. If you're a Christian, you have the Spirit of God living in you, without question. That has marked you out as a child of God. If anyone hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. Romans 8. If you're His, the Spirit lives in you. And that power, it's always there for the taking, but I tell you, when you drift off and you walk into sin, or you're not depending upon God and you're not focused on God or drawing near to God through the Word and prayer, you're not going to walk in that power. That power infuses us as we walk in utter dependence upon God. When we worship God, not just on a Sunday morning, but Monday morning and throughout all Monday and Tuesday morning and all throughout Tuesday, when we cast ourselves there at His feet, in utter surrender and dependency, and lay our life there and say, oh God, not me, but you. Oh God, crucify me with Christ. Fill me with wisdom. God, help me today that I wouldn't walk in my own power, but I might walk in your power. God, help me through every moment of the day to know your will, to walk in obedience to you. Oh God, help me to live for Christ. And you take hold of God and you put to death the flesh. That's where the power of God comes down. It's in our communion with God when we tuck ourselves away with God in prayer and the Word. It seems so basic, and it's the one thing we all struggle with so much, isn't it? You know why? Because the devil doesn't want us there, because that's where the power is. That's where the victory is won. You want to win each day? It's one in your time with God. It's one when you cast yourself there at His feet. It's one when you acknowledge God and who He is and your dependency, and you don't want to live a moment without Him. That's where the battle's won. That's where the power flows. Show me that person. That's where the power of God is unleashed. We have to walk in it. So we don't just serve God in our own power. God doesn't want us doing church in our own power. God doesn't want us going this week through VBS in our own power, trying to muster up our own strength and do this in our own effort. God wants us broken and surrendered and utterly dependent upon Him and what only He can do every moment of every day. That's where we must be. And that's where the power of God will be unleashed. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Power. Secondly, He mentions love. So with the calling and the gifting of God comes the love of God. When God saved us, He filled us not only with His power, but with His love. Give me a minute so I don't annoy you this whole time, okay? I'm doing my best. My wife's... me to try to keep that in check, because I'll sniffle and snot all the way through the service, okay? So I'm trying to be mindful of that, and I need that. Secondly, He mentions love. Now, as I said, when God saves us, He fills us with His power, but He also fills us with His love. And a verse on that, just very clear, Romans 5, verse 8.
I believe it's 8. My eyes are failing me. I'm going to turn there just so I get it right. I've got it noted here, but Romans chapter 5, I think it might be earlier than that. It might be Romans 5, verse 5. Well, where is it? Somebody help me. Yes, it's 5:5. I tell you what, pray for me. I've noticed as I read my Bible, you know, I used to have no trouble up close. It's just out there. It's starting to get a little blurry. So pray for me. I might need to get me some cheaters here or something. But it's 5:5 is what I was after. It's all through here. But 5:5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." And so the moment we were saved, we came to be, I mean, absolutely showered upon with the love of God. We came to experience it personally. I mean, we may have heard about it all our life, but the moment God reached down and called us and saved us and brought us to the knowledge of a Savior and our sin and our need, and He reached down and brought us to saving faith and washed us in the blood of His Son, I mean, the love of God absolutely consumed us. We experienced it. And now that love has been shed abroad in us. We haven't just experienced it, it's living in us. How? Through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the same love of God Himself is now indwelling us through the power, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. It has literally been shed abroad in our hearts. It has been dispersed there. And it is to be flowing out of us to others. This word love in verse 7 is the Greek word agape. It is that supreme sacrificial love of God Himself. It is the very love with which God Himself loves us. The love of God. I mean, this isn't worldly stuff. This is divine. This is the very love of God. It's a volitional love, meaning a love of the will. It's a love of choice. It's not a love that's based on emotion. You know, emotions up and down and all around. Sometimes you feel emotional and your emotions move you to love, but sometimes your emotions aren't there. Do you still love? God does. It's a love of the choice. It's a love of the will. Sometimes, you know, we're all over the place. Our minds are all over. Circumstances are all over. But a divine agape love will love regardless. It will choose to love no matter what the circumstances, no matter how it feels. It will love with the love of God, enabled by the Spirit of God. And that's what we're talking about here. The love of God indwelling us, and that gifting being used and stirred up, not just in God's power, but in His love. Why love? Because God doesn't want us just operating in His power. God wants us operating in His love. His love. Let me remind us, I know these are familiar verses, but it's good for us to look at them. Back in 1 Corinthians 13... we know that passage, most of us do, that wonderful, powerful passage on love. We were there not long ago on Sunday morning, studying through there, took a pause there. 1 Corinthians 13, look at it with me. Though I speak, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift, see, we're talking about gifts here, of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. If all we have is God's power, God's divine enabling to use that gifting, and it's lacking love, nothing. Nothing. It's not just power. It's true godly love. And so this gifting God has given us and is enabling through us that we're to be stirring up, it must operate not just in power, but in God's divine love. God's divine love. The love of God Himself is to be flowing out of our heart and life to others as we're exercising this gift. Now, some basic stuff here, but let me just reveal it. First and foremost, we're to be loving God. That divine enabling isn't just so we can love others, but so we can love God as we ought to love God. And so we fulfill our divine calling and we stir up this spiritual gifting because we love God. We love God and we truly do love God and therefore we want to serve Him. Amen? I mean, if we're truly saved and we truly have divine enablement to love God by the Spirit of God, oh, we want to honor Him. We want our lives to live for Him. We want our lives to count for Him. We want to serve Him. We want God to have everything. We want to stand before Him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I've wasted enough of my days. Oh God, help me not to waste anymore. One preacher said a while back, I heard I got more in the rear view mirror than I have in the front windshield. I'm living that reality. Even if God gives me a long life, I've got more behind me than I got in front of me. And eternity is becoming so more real to me. And what matters in life, in light of it, I want to love Him as I ought. I want to serve Him. And we looked at Romans 8 not that long ago, and it shows us the love of God for us, that God loves us. And if God loves us and God's for us, who can be against us? And if God has given us His own Son, He's also going to give us everything else that He's given to the Son. It don't matter what we face in this life, we're more than conquerors through Him, through Christ, who loved us. In light of the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, it captures us. It handcuffs us. It takes siege of our life and thrusts us out to live for the glory of His name. That's what we're talking about here. We're to use that gifting with a love for God that cannot be tamed. It cannot be quenched. Tenacity. Unleash it for the glory of God. And then that love's to be stirred up toward others. We know we're not only to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but we're to love others as ourselves. If we're loving others as ourselves, then we will be stirring up our spiritual gifting and using that to help them. Rather, they're lost and they need to come to the knowledge of Christ, or they're saved and they need to be built up in the things of Christ. This is where our heart will be, stirring this gift up, using it day in, day out, not just on a Sunday, through the week, when you're at work, when you're at home. All being filled with the power of God and the Spirit of God and the love of God to live as He's called us to live. God has given us divine resources. How do you walk in this? By the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Again, church, if God has taught me anything, it's how desperately I need Him. I don't want to take a step without Him. Has that been brought to bear on your life so that Monday morning you're not about to go out the door until you've gotten a hold of Him? Well, these are holy things. He's a holy God. It's a holy calling. His church is called with a holy calling. Oh, God, help us not to take these things lightly. You want to stand for Him unashamed? You need divine love. Divine love. You need to slow down and take hold of God till He's taken hold of you. And only then are we going to be infused with this kind of power to love God like this and to love others like this. Can you bear with me? You know, this isn't natural. Turn over with me to 1 John for a minute. 1 John chapter 4. And to love like this is not natural. As you're turning there. The natural thing is... the natural thing is to live in the flesh, walk in the flesh, let the flesh have its will and way. Isn't that so? It's to operate our lives seeking our own things. We get up each day, what's best for me? What do I want to do today? Just serving ourselves, operating according to what we want and whatever suits us. But the Spirit of God will infuse us with His divine power to be emptied of self, to love God with all our heart supremely, and to live in this world loving others with the love of God, the same love with which He loved us. It will take hold of us by the power of God's Spirit. We will love as God has loved. And you see this, 1 John 4, verse 7, just some verses on love. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Let this soak in. He who does not love God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We're commanded here, beloved, let us love one another. Commanded to love one another, again, the word agape, true godly sacrificial love. This is how we're to love one another. In verse 7, everyone who loves is born of God. You love like this with agape love, the love of God. It's a identifier. It's a clear indication that you are truly born of God, because His love flows out of us to others. That's one of the ways that you know you're truly His. The one who does not love like this, according to verse 8, does not know God. What kind of love are we talking about? Again, verses 9 and 10, the love of God. What kind of love that sent His only begotten Son into the world to be a propitiation for our sins? To lay Himself aside and die for His enemies, sinners, put Himself between us and God, God's wrath, endure our sin, our shame, our guilt, the wrath and judgment of God in our place, to lay His own life down for those who are not worthy. That's the love we're talking about. When you have that kind of love in you and flowing out of you, that's how you know you're born of God. You're born of God. You're commanded to walk in that love. But just step back and just application again. Boy, this is challenging for me. Do you really love others with the love of God? Everyone you see throughout the day, your wife, your children, go to work, everyone at work, wherever you are, whatever you do, people you run into, acquaintance, whatever it is, all throughout the day, all throughout the week. Do you love them with the love of God? Is it manifested in the way you act toward them? The thoughts you have toward them, the words you speak toward them, your actions toward them. Could they think of you and realize that is someone who truly loves me? I know beyond anything else, I know all their faults, whatever, that person loves me. That's what we're talking about. The love of God. The same love with which Christ came and died for us, flowing through us to others. We have that divine love in us. We have the divine power to walk in it. But it's of the Spirit. It's of the Spirit of God. You got time for one more? Or are we going to make this part three? I love yous. Can you handle it one more? Can you give me that time, please?
Yes.
The power of God, the love of God. Thirdly, this is crucial, a sound mind. So with the gifting of God, the calling of God, comes the soundness of mind to operate it, to use it at full capacity. When God saved us, He gave us a sound mind. It's best translated self-control. I'll speed up the time a little bit. Try to, okay? It speaks of self-discipline. But get a hold of this. Please, please, please don't turn this off. What is a sound mind? Self-discipline. Soundness of mind. Soundness of judgment. It is the discipline to bring our mind and our thoughts, the whole inner man, our whole life, into conformity with Christ, the Word of Christ, the will of Christ, to bring the inward man into subjection, to be harnessed in by God and His Word. That's what we're talking about here. That's what God has given us. As goes your mind, so will go your life. Do you see that? If your mind is not grounded in the truth of God, if your mind is not harnessed in with the Word of God, saturated, controlled, governed by the truth of this God, who He is, what He says, if your life's not governed by, or if your mind's not governed by that, your life will not be governed by it. The reason people's lives are not harnessed into God and His truth is because their mind is not harnessed into God and His truth. The moment you see someone drifting from this book, drifting from its truth, drifting from surrender to God and what it means to love God and serve God and be living for God in this world, and they begin to drift, the moment you see that, it's not because their life is drifting, it's because their mind is drifting. Their mind has drifted. Give you a couple of verses on this and we'll nail it down. Again, Romans. Any verse in Romans come to mind? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's what God's after. A living sacrifice. Is that what you're presenting this morning to God? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Nothing uncalled for. Oh, this is what He deserves. Amen. Everything. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the mind saturated with the Word of God. It's what the renewed mind is. It's a mind constantly reading and thinking and dwelling and meditating upon the Word of God Himself. It's a mind that is saturated, harnessed in with truth, God's truth continually. And as you take that time to be with God and meditate on the Word of God, and you go out the door and you haven't left it to the side, but you're still filled with God and His Word, and you're chewing on it and you're meditating upon it. It's the things of God filtering through your mind. That's what it means. Your mind will be renovated. Renewed means renovated. It's like tearing out everything in a house and making it brand new. That's what we so desperately need. Everything in our mind of this world, all the affairs of Vanity Fair, all of these things torn out of our life, and boy, to be built on the foundation of Christ and His truth. That's what VBS is all about this week. And that's what it means to have soundness of mind. If your mind's not doing that, you'll drift. Your life will drift. Your thoughts will drift, and then your walk will drift. And so our minds have to be under the control of God. 2 Corinthians 10. One more passage. 2 Corinthians 10. Thinking about the mind and what it means to have soundness of mind. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and casting every high thing, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What are the weapons of our warfare? They're not carnal. They're not fleshly. Can't see them with your physical eye. Can't touch them with your physical hands. Prayer and the Word. Prayer and the Word. And as we give ourselves to prayer, truly, and what is prayer? It's not just setting out 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20, whatever it is. It's giving yourself to God. It is the living sacrifice. It's casting yourself and presenting yourself there to God. You are desperate for Him. That's what happens in prayer. You die to self and you're infused with God's will, God's power. And then you give yourself to the Word. You renovate your mind with His truth. As you do that, you'll be empowered by God to tear down every argument, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Tear down every stronghold in your life. What are those things? It's the strongholds, again, of Vanity Fair. The strongholds of the world, the ideologies of the world. You don't have to serve God like that. You don't have to be that serious. God doesn't expect that. And just lies and arguments for why you don't have to live for God. Why you can settle into a rut. It's all those arguments warring against the Word of God. But as you're filled with prayer and you're filled with the Word of God, you'll have a sword to cast down and fight every one of those arguments. And every stronghold that's pulling you and your family and your children and your grandchildren down and down and down, you'll have the light of God and the power of God and the love of God to speak that truth into their heart and pull them out of that darkness and bring them to Christ. That's what we're talking about here. Soundness of mind. A mind harnessed in by God in His Word. A mind not given to the lies of the devil. Again, how do you walk in this? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:23, the fruit of the Spirit is, on down the line, self-control. It's a life and a mind from the inside out harnessed in to God. In a world, in an age where so many are given over now to a reprobate mind, given over to the lies and the deceptions of the devil, therefore given over to those things that are sinful and vile and abominable before God, things that will literally be destroyed by God, we have the divine ability and gifting and enablement from God to have a sound mind. A mind that can look out at the world and discern spiritually what is going on. Can look out at our nation and see the spirit of the Antichrist taking hold in the reprobate mind and know that what's going on in our nation is what God has told us in the Word. This is what God has spoken, and it ought not to surprise us, but it ought to humble us. To look out at the church and see a church that's weak and slumbering in this age, this day, this most crucial hour. Oh God, help us to see soundness of mind. Where does that kind of mind to see those things come from? The Word of God in prayer. Soundness of mind will lead you to live for Him, give everything to Him. And when you get to the end, you won't have wasted your life on things that God will destroy. You have built your life on the foundation that can never be destroyed. The only thing that matters. I tell you, if we're going to stand for God in this day and age unashamed, we have to remember our divine calling. and our divine resources. God has given us every resource we need to stand for Him unashamed, to stir up our gifting, to shine a bright light for His glory and His name in this world, and to do so unashamedly. Unashamedly. I want to ask you, do you remember your divine calling? You're saved. Do you remember that calling? You remember when God intervened and, you know, basically ripped your heart out and broke you and showed you your sin and then led you to His love in Christ and come down and just absolutely transformed you from the inside out and set you on a new path? Do you remember that? Do you also realize that when God called you, He set you apart for His name and He gave you a divine enabling? It's yours and yours alone. It's a stewardship from God. You have every resource that you need from God to stir that up into blazing fire for His name, to use it for Him in this world. Are you being faithful? God says, stir up your gifting. This isn't the time to cower down. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. The power to exercise that gift, the love to exercise that gift, the soundness of mind where we wouldn't get off track but be giving ourselves to those things that are truly eternal. Everything we need, God has given. Do you remember your divine resources? Are you tapping into them through prayer and the Word? Well, I tell you, this is what we need this week. It's what we need every week. It's what we need every day, every moment of the day. Maybe you're here today and you're just at a place where you realize that you're lost and you need God. Christ has died for you. You're lost. You've never truly given your life to Christ. Turn from sin. Put your faith in Jesus alone to save you. I tell you, there's hope. There's a God who loves you beyond what you can ever even begin to understand or fathom. There's victory over death. There's victory over everything that you struggle with in this life in Jesus Christ. There's not a battle you're facing. There's not a struggle you're facing. There's nothing that you're doing and enduring in this life that God cannot give you victory over, that God isn't even using right now to bring you to that place where you need to be before Him. So whatever's going on in your life, I plead with you, just surrender to God today. Take these things to heart. Maybe just come and search yourself out before God and pause before Him. Say, oh God, search me. Maybe you already know these things. You've drifted from these things and you need to get back to them. Whatever it is, this is the time to respond to what God has spoken in His Word. Let's take these things to heart. Oh God, help us to. Let's pray. Let's stand if you're able. As we go to the Lord in prayer, our musicians will come. We're going to have a time of invitation. Let's take these things to heart. You need to come this morning. I want to encourage you to come. I'm here to pray with you, to love on you, to encourage you, to help you in any way that I can. Please come. If I can help you, you come to me as we pray this morning. Father, we just bow before you. Again, we thank you for this time to be together, Father. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for how you love us and you give us life and breath. And God, every day we have is from you and just time to get away from it all and clear off the slate and come here before you and just cast our lives at your feet, utter surrender. Here we are, God. We need you. We thank you for your Word, your truth, for this divine calling, this divine gifting, all these resources. Help us to walk like this. As Paul is stirring Timothy, as you're stirring Timothy through Paul, as you're stirring us through this Word, help us to take it to heart. You know where we are. You know what we need. I pray if there's any here who are lost, whom you're drawing to saving faith, that they would respond to you, God. They just cast their self, their life at your feet, turn from sin and call upon Jesus to save them. So God, help us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.